When America was founded, the Bible was ubiquitous in virtually every home, and it was read at that time as well. When John Winthrop, the Puritan leader who founded Boston, this is just one example, said that they wanted to create a city upon a hill, virtually all his hearers knew he's quoting Jesus in the Bible. Well, fast forward to today, and we see a problem of widespread biblical illiteracy. In fact, a new study confirms that notion that many Americans, even professing Christians, don't know the scriptures or don't know them well. Troy Miller is the president of the National Religious Broadcasters, the NRB, a group working to increase biblical literacy. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points, and Troy Miller joins us right now to discuss this issue. Troy, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks again for joining us.
Jerry, it's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So give us an overview about biblical literacy, and if you wanted to start with the Bible and the founding era, feel free, because I think that's a good, you know, starting point.
It is a good starting point because I think, as you said, if we go back and we look at the time this nation was founded and we look at the principles it was founded, I think one of the things we'd find, Jerry, that would shock us is that most of the people around living in that 18th century, around the time of the form of this nation, would be considered biblical scholars today. They didn't just read the Bible in a daily devotion. They studied it to know how it impacted their lives and their interaction with people around them. And so we find the Bible was so common during that era. Even when we look at Jerry historically, we go to Jefferson, who's, you know, unjustly tagged with this separation of church and state letter to the Danbury Baptists. At the same time, I think, Jerry, as you know, he was leading the school board for the Washington, D.C. district, and he mandated that the Bible and Watts Hymnal were two books that would be in every schoolroom across that district. And that's how important the Bible was to our founding fathers and to the citizenry of America during that time.
And frankly, if you read these writings, including, let's say, Ben Franklin. Now, Ben Franklin, you know, had a little bit of questionable beliefs and so forth. But you see that the biblical allusions, they're loaded with them. When Ben Franklin gave his famous speech, June 28, 1787, that to the Constitutional Convention, gentlemen, we need to pray. You know, he talks about if a sparrow cannot fall without God's notice. He's quoting or referring to something Jesus talked about. And he says, we've been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, and so forth. So if you know the Bible, you see, oh my goodness, they're quoting the Bible all over the place or citing it, you know, at least directly or indirectly.
Well, it was, look, they viewed it as the foundation for the blueprint of their lives. They truly embraced that, what we call our Christian worldview. The lens they looked at the world was a lens based on what they understood out of the Jewish scriptures we call the Old Testament and the Christian scriptures we call the New Testament. It formed their whole relationship, again, of how they interacted in society, how they interacted individually, from everything from managing their finances to, again, how this country was formed. You can't go through the Capitol. I'd love to go through with our good friends over at Wall Builders the spiritual heritage tour of the Capitol, or just the spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., and you see how much influence the Bible had on society during that time and for the next, really, Jerry, for the next 100-150 years.
All right, you and I are recording this discussion at the very beginning of the summer of 2026. Tell us about some new study that shows that, contrary to those in the founding era, a lot of Americans today are not familiar with the Bible.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a couple of studies out there. One, we worked with the folks at Back to the Bible. They have an entire research division looking at the state of Christianity or state of spirituality in the country. While we found that many Americans might agree with what we would call some of the core doctrines of Christianity, they agree with a virgin birth, they agree with the sinless life of Christ. They agree with the crucifixion, his atonement for our sin, the resurrection, his return. When you take it deeper and ask them about other aspects of the Bible and where the Bible speaks, most Christians are completely lost when it says, does this Bible speak on sexuality? Does the Bible speak on economics? Does the Bible speak on social justice? How does the Bible speak on these major issues of our culture today? And most Christians really find themselves at a loss to say where the Bible speaks of that. And then we went just a little bit deeper in that study to say, how much does the Bible actually then influence your life? So 60% of Americans would say they believe in those core doctrines of Christianity, but only 14% of Americans say that those core doctrines influence how they live their lives.
Huh. Do you mind going in a little bit about the, in the weeds, if you will, like give some examples that are prominent examples showing modern biblical illiteracy?
Yeah, so we're actually going to dive down in this study in a little deeper, because the surface for us kind of just showed that, oh, we have a major problem here. But going down deeper in it, and Jerry, you have to forgive me because I don't have it in front of me right now, going down a little deeper in it, looking just at sexuality, if I remember right, asking people, does the Bible speak on sexuality? And over half of the respondents said, no, the Bible really doesn't speak on sexuality. That's an individual choice.
Wow. So that would be, you know what? This is interesting, because I was thinking about this recently. There are some situations where people are living together, you know, as a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. They're living, you know, historically that was called living in sin. And then if you bring that out and you say, wait a minute, you're a part of a church and you're living in sin, how do you square that? I mean, the Bible's against, you know, basically interfering with your marriage, either yours or with someone else's marriage. And living in sin is, in effect, it's like committing adultery before the fact, if you will.
Yeah, it's right. It's kind of like, you know, the issue of fornication, this idea that sex outside of marriage, you know, in the modern culture is an individual choice. And that individualism is a huge theme that we find in society today, that kind of people use to override even biblical ideas. But Jerry, if you go back and think about it for a second, if you look at where we're at in society, where 250 years ago, we're celebrating the birth of our nation here. 250 years ago, all of these issues, as I said, sexuality, marriage, economics, justice, freedom, all got their roots, came out of the understanding of the scriptures, of the Judeo-Christian scriptures. Now, fast forward and look where we're at today, Jerry. We have problems with society defining any of those things. What does it mean? What does sexuality mean? Well, in most of society today, it means whatever I want it to mean. What does marriage mean? Is marriage simply between a man and a woman? Is that what marriage, biblical marriage, clearly defines? And that's the only definition of marriage. But today we have multiple definitions of marriage, including same-sex marriage. We actually have once again a rising look at polygamy. We have marriage in California, where they did try to define marriage as a person in relation with anything out there. So those definitions, economics, we have as we know, Dr. Kennedy had a whole series of this. We have the guidelines of how we're supposed to, as Christians, give us that overall guidelines of what it means to be a good steward, not only with our funds that we give to God, but our funds and how we handle them for our own personal matters as well, how we handle our legacy and pass on to our children and to our grandchildren. All of those issues, we can find the principles that really would define the policies and the views in this country are found in the Bible. But the problem is, Jerry, of professing Christians, less than a third of professing Christians say that they actually even read their Bible on a regular basis, let alone actually study their Bible to understand these principles.
I want to be on record here to promote a book that is out of print. I believe it's out of print, but you can buy it used, and that's what I did. Anyway, it's called Search the Scriptures. It was produced in the 1940s. It's produced by, it's still, you know, it was published multiple times by InterVarsity Press. Search the Scriptures. The main editor is Alan Stibbs. If you use that book, after 3 years, you will have studied every single passage of the Bible. And nobody says that when you finish, you can't use it again. And so I have literally used it again and again and again and again. And it's really helped me to study the Bible. If other people find other ways in which they study the Bible in depth, great. More power to you. Obviously, it sounds like, Troy, a lot of people are not doing this kind of thing that you're talking about, studying the Bible deeply or even just reading it on a regular basis. John Quincy Adams would read it, read the Bible once every year and, you know, go through the whole book.
Right. And many of the founding fathers, even the ones that we look at or history tries to tell us were, you know, deists or marginal Christians or whatever, they would again be almost considered Bible scholars today because they understood that. They formed those opinions because of a deep understanding of the scriptures that they had. But Jerry, let's talk about some of the roots of the problems here today is because one of the things that we're really pushing is we don't often hear Bible study, you know, really pushed through churches and pulpits today. We get a lot of messages that come through. We get pastors who give us, you know, guidance or give us a message, but really expository exegesis kind of preaching that challenges congregations to know more or learn more, especially around the key social issues. That's a real lack in our churches today. Our churches are much more focused on social club kind of activities and programs that keep people coming to the church rather than that deep hunger for discipleship, which makes real followers of Christ and not simply fans.
Now, I don't want to sound political here, but okay, you've got a senatorial candidate in James Tallarico in Texas running for the Senate. Mm-hmm. And potentially he has a shot, and he's claiming he's a Christian, and he's claiming that Jesus, he's claiming that God is non-binary, that Jesus is cool with homosexuality. He's claiming that there are six genders and so forth. And it's like, wow, what translation is this man reading?
Well, unfortunately, it's his translation, again, which is too much happens in today. When scripture is used, it's taken out of context or it's used to promote an ideology, rather than it's, you know, put in the context or studied in the exegesis way that it was meant to do, that the scholars, really do. And Jerry, we live in a time, you quoted a book from the 1940s, but we live in a time when the resources are so plentiful today for us to be able to study our Bible. We have concordances, we have commentaries, we have books on written on every chapter of the Bible that are out there that help us get into that deep kind of study. But we have to be encouraged. That's part of what a shepherd's role is. We have to be encouraged to do that. And, Jerry, quite honestly, we have to have people courageous enough to stand up and say, you know, biblical literacy is the foundation of this country, and it is the only thing that's going to turn this country around.
And we do have resources like BibleGateway.com, NRB.org. That's your organization. Troy Miller, thank you so much. I assume if people go to that, they can find that study about this biblical illiteracy you're working to fight so people can become more literate in the scriptures. Thanks again, Troy. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.